The best cybersecurity technology in the world will not be effective unless the organization is geared toward managing it all. That requires a cyber governance plan with somebody in charge. Rebecca Lewis is Deputy Director of the COGOD Cybersecurity Governance Center at American University. She joins me in studio. Cybersecurity governance, what is it and why is it important in the whole scheme of cybersecurity?
With cybersecurity, there's a lot of focus on the technical pieces, all of the fast evolving technologies, cyber threat actors. There's also, myself, I'm trained as an attorney. The legal piece gets a lot of attention. So governance is really looking at all the different pieces, whether they're technical, legal, fiscal, managerial, reputational, and figuring out how to manage all of those together.
It's really a risk management piece.
Sure. Yes, exactly. It's risk management and all of the processes, policies, procedures, even situational awareness. How do the people who are literally governing, who are in charge of an organization, think about and manage this?
Because most cybersecurity discussions, even at the federal level, get caught up in passwords and 800-53 controls and all of this kind of stuff, but nobody thinks about the big picture, which
exactly.
Really is governance.
Right. That's exactly right. And, you can focus all you want on the specific technical pieces, but if you don't have kind of your arms around the big picture, then all of that effort may be for naught because you've got blind spots, you've got gaps that you're not seeing, and you may not be managing it very efficiently either.
So at COGOD, you think about governance, and that means that there has to be a governor, that is to say, someone in charge of all of this. What's the latest thinking in that, who's at the top of the cyber hierarchy?
Right. Well, there's a lot of discussion about that. I mean, within the federal government, each agency has to have a chief information officer, a chief information security officer, and then you, of course, have the agency head, who's responsible for protecting the, personnel, facilities, systems, devices, networks, all of that. There's a similar structure within private entities, and there's a lot of discussion about should it be the CIO, should it be the CISO? Within a private entity, what is the responsibility of the board of directors? Should it be the audit committee? That does matter, but what's perhaps more important is that that person is clearly identified, properly resourced. They have the authority that they need to actually fulfill the responsibilities they've been given.
Because in the private sector, I think it's safe to say that corporate boards are very interested in cybersecurity.
Absolutely.
Because they know the material damage that can be done to a company when there's a breach.
Absolutely. So, even if there's a breach and a company has done what's reasonable, they will still suffer reputational damage. And for boards of directors in particular, we're starting to see the federal government is beginning to hold their feet to the fire, hold them personally responsible in some instances.
So in the federal government, is there a particular title that you believe is the governor, so to speak, of cybersecurity?
Well, that's an interesting question. So recently we hosted the final field hearing of the Commission on Enhancing National Cybersecurity. A number of commissioners, panelists, experts talked about this very issue. In some regards, or the president of the United States is the one who's responsible for this. He's the chief executive.
But you could say that about every function in the government.
Absolutely, right.
Commander in chief.
Right. So I think there's a good argument that it's the chief information officer or the chief information security officer. We just had the president just created the for the first time, the role of a federal chief information security officer.
And the poor guy has like 4 months.
Right.
When he was appointed, he had 4 months to do something.
Yes, exactly. Which is not uncommon in this realm. You get people who are put in charge and they're expected to demonstrate very quick, a quick grasp of the situation and to make effective change. But that's very difficult because this really is a multifaceted problem.
We're speaking with Rebecca Lewis, Deputy Director of the COGOD Cybersecurity Governance Center at American University. And so what you say then implies maybe that perhaps a career executive should be the belly button to push because they are the ones that have continuity.
Sure.
From administration to administration.
Yes, continuity is very important. Visibility is very important. How do you prioritize competing interests if you don't have visibility of all of them? So someone who knows an institution, who has kind of that, as you say, the continuity is important. I think it's maybe less important exactly who that person is and what position they have, and more that they are clearly identified as responsible for cybersecurity and that the people they're working with know that they're responsible for it and they're given the authority to do that.
Now, we hear a lot about institutions that try to teach cybersecurity. There's many of them. There's certification groups. There's technical education. At COGOD, you do a different tack. Tell us a little bit about what goes on there.
Sure. So, I'm trained as an attorney. I have a number of technical certifications. There are great schools in the area who are, as you say, looking at the technical, legal, other pieces. At COGOD, we really are looking at this governance piece. So I'm currently teaching a cybersecurity governance course out of the business school. That's
That was my next question. You know, where do you live there?
Absolutely. So there are, a variety of schools, including business schools, that are looking at cybersecurity in some capacity. We are, as I said, really focused on the governance piece and also doing actionable research that executives, corporate boards, and others in similar positions can actually move forward on. So the curriculum, so the course that I'm currently teaching, I have students from the business school, students from the School of International Service, from the School of Public Affairs, and they want to know what they need to know to go out into the world and make a difference for different types of organizations, to actually potentially lead them or advise leaders of these organizations.
And what are the basic skills that a cybersecurity leader in the governance sense need to have?
Well, they need to have some level of knowledge about the various aspects. So that does include the technical piece. You know, in my class, we do a session where we talk about different technical elements. It involves understanding the legal landscape. What are your costs? How do you finance cybersecurity? So you need to have knowledge of all of those. You also need to understand kind of the fundamentals of governance. So in the governance realm, one area that's pretty well defined is the Sarbanes-Oxley, the SOX compliance. A lot of organizations are familiar with that. Right now, the federal government hasn't regulated cybersecurity governance in that way. So there's kind of a patchwork of laws and regulations that apply. So needing to understand that patchwork, but also the importance of having clear processes, procedures, and accountability is
there is
really
FISMA
important.
Too in all of this.
Absolutely, right. Yes, and so, you know, for federal entities, FISMA provides some clear guidance about different roles, whether it's the CIO or the Chief Information Security Officer. But, you know, FISMA doesn't go into too much detail about how to actually do that at the organizational level. So, that's something I really try to instill in my students, is the understanding that you have to understand your organization to be able to handle this problem. There, you can look outside and see, again, you know, advanced persistent threats, understanding the threat, what is ransomware, what are these various technical pieces, but you need to know your universe. What is it that you're trying to protect? Why are you trying to protect it? What is the value of it? And what is the culture of your organization? How do you go about motivating the people working for you and with you to do, you know, oftentimes very mundane. We talk about cyber hygiene, things that they're not sexy. They're not, you know, particularly exciting, but they really matter in terms of protecting your assets.
Now, a moment ago, I mentioned 853, a National Institute of Standards and Technology publication that has 650 controls that need to be built into systems. Now they're coming out with 800-160, which is an engineering approach to building in cybersecurity. These are highly technical pieces. Do you feel that cybersecurity governance people ought to at least scan them and know what's in them and know the basic references to the IEEE standards and so forth, just to not get maybe snowed by the technical people?
I think that that can be important. And to your question, you know, to your reference of getting snowed by the technical people, I think there's an element here that gets often overlooked, which is that the technical people have very deep expertise and provide a lot of value to an organization. They have not always been recognized for that value, and that's beginning to change. And I think there's can be a tension there in really... the technical people need to help leadership understand, but query whether they're motivated to do that if they haven't always been given the proper recognition and the resources to do that. So finding a way to motivate your technical people, all of the people working together to give the right information is important. To your question about understanding the standards or the technical piece, I think it is important to have some level of understanding. One publication that the National Institute of Standards and Technology has put out is their cybersecurity framework for protecting critical infrastructure, which is voluntary, and a number of other organizations, not just critical infrastructure, are adopting it. So people often confuse that document as a standard. Tell me, how do I encrypt my data? What is the requirement? It doesn't give you that. It says use best practices, use whatever standard is relevant. But it provides the governance piece in that it gives you guidance about how to look at all these different pieces together, but it will not give you the actual answer. So from a leadership perspective, a governance perspective, you need to have some level of understanding, but you the value you provide is really understanding how all the pieces work together.
So the governance people need to understand the technical people and vice versa, and they've got to speak to one another.
Absolutely. Right. That's something we're very interested in at the center, is looking at ways to improve communication between subject matter experts and the leadership of an organization. On one hand, you can say the technical folks need to understand how to better speak in terms of business risk. I think it goes both ways. You've got to have, your leadership needs to understand how to digest some of the information that they're being given from subject matter experts. And that probably does involve understanding some of the technical pieces.
Probably those technical people know maybe more than is appreciated why a particular asset is important in the context of that particular agency. Maybe they don't get credit for it sometimes.
Yes, absolutely. You hear very often in the cybersecurity realm, talk about you need to identify your crown jewels. You need to protect your crown jewels. Well, what is your crown jewel? That it could be intellectual property, which we're seeing a lot of focus on that now. It could be purely the systems that you operate. If your real value is your operations, maybe not one particular asset, then your technical people are going to understand that. There may be, from a leadership perspective, a fairly obscure functionality or system, but it's critical to the functioning of the organization.
We're speaking with Rebecca Lewis, Deputy Director of the COGOD Cybersecurity Governance Center at American University. And I want to switch gears for just a moment. Information sharing, which is not a legal requirement. There's been no laws passed. It is federal policy for information sharing to occur between the private sector and the government. How does that come into play here?
Sure. So, information sharing between government and private entities, between different private entities, between different government entities has been happening for a while. Last year, Congress passed the Cybersecurity Information Sharing Act of 2015 in December of last year. Part of that legislation specifically addressed information sharing through a portal that is currently managed and stood up by the Department of Homeland Security.
That's the automated
indicator sharing portal, AIS.
They love indicators there.
Yes. And so, this capability was much discussed, how much, it allows private entities to submit what are called cyber threat indicators.
But it's still voluntary on the part of those
entities.
Absolutely
voluntary. And DHS and US CERT has a website with extensive information about it, including terms of use, various restrictions and requirements, the actual technical how you submit the indicators also restricts what you can put in. So there was a lot of concern about the privacy implications of private entities sharing information with the government. But, on one hand, information sharing as a general concept can be overwhelming. If everyone's just sharing lots of information, what does that mean? How do you actually hone in on what is actionable information? So doing it the right way is important, and doing it in a way that allows you to kind of parse out what matters, not just what's actionable, but what's actually what you can depend on to be accurate is important.
Getting back to the original question of governance and having one single person in charge and known to be in charge of cybersecurity, how far from that ideal does the federal government and the collection of agencies actually fall?
to that point, GAO recently issued a survey just last month, an audit, where they looked at 24 different federal departments and agencies and asked the chief information security officers, who in many cases are the ones who are responsible for cybersecurity, asked them, you know, did they have sufficient authority, clarity of responsibility? And many of them said no, and that the as a result of this, there was a fair amount of friction and conflict, kind of negotiating, figuring out who's in charge of what, being able to actually manage resources is difficult. So this was something that the people within the government have identified as a continuing problem.
It's like, to tell the truth, will a real top cybersecurity person please stand up? And they all stand up, or nobody does.
Absolutely. And that, you know, within the federal government, as a recent federal employee, very aware of our obligation to prevent waste, fraud, and abuse. So if you've got multiple people doing the same job, you know, you have a waste issue potentially. So it also, it just takes away time and resources to be negotiating those lines and figuring out who's responsible for what.
And given all the apparatus that is in place, through all the policies, the laws we've cited, the CDM program, the continuous monitoring program, the Einstein program from Homeland Security. Lord knows there's enough going on to try to enhance cybersecurity. Do you think the missing governance piece might be the last piece missing? And if that was in place, these parade of breaches and attacks might cease, or at least be abated somewhat?
Sure. I think they'd certainly be abated. I don't know if they would cease, but our management of those breaches could be streamlined. And more importantly, we could reduce the likelihood of the breaches. To go off on a bit of a tangent, I'm a big sports fan. I think of when you think of a basketball team, I'm a big basketball fan. So cybersecurity, we don't know exactly what the next threat is going to be, what the next vulnerability that will be exploited will be. But if everyone knows their various roles, they can ensure that they have proper coverage. It's kind of like a basketball team, where whether you're playing zone defense or man-to-man defense, you don't know what the opponent's going to do. But if you know what your responsibility is, you can all work in concert in a much more effective manner.
Rebecca Lewis is Deputy Director of the COGOD Cybersecurity Governance Center at American University. We'll post both parts of this interview. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.